If you were here back in September, I believe it was early September, I shared in detail really how God led us to this move. Just how God really spoke to us through Scripture, how He spoke to us through circumstance in our lives, and that led us to moving. And you know, one of the things that is encouraging as we move. And I put it here in the newsletter, but it's just one of the verses that really spoke to us as we are kind of seeking God's will in this move. It's from Joshua, and it says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." And, you know, reading those verses, it was, for me, it was really one of these things just like, you know, you're coming and going, "Lord, is it time for us to move?" And then you go and you read the Bible and it says you are to move out from your positions. You have two choices there, to say, "God's speaking to me," and listen, or to ignore Him. So, you know, that's kind of one of those confirmational verses. But there's a great encouragement there where it says, "Then you'll know the way to go, since you've not been that way before." And so we're grateful that we're following God in this. And I want to encourage all of us to follow God in our lives. You know, sometimes following God's omnipresent. So following God might be staying where you are and doing what you do and just serving Him there. You know, one of the things is that we're sad to leave Parkcrest and also the ministry. And I thought I'd share from Acts chapter 8 to begin with, just a bit about the work we'll be doing. One of the main things is that I'll continue serving in the same mission, in the same ministry I'm with now, International Student Ministries Canada. We're not sure what we're going to do about the Canada part, but serving with international students. And, you know, all these years on, it's still something that God has put in my heart and made me passionate about. In fact, one of the and I've shared this before, but it was actually just in right up here. About 8 or 9 years ago, sitting with a student from Iran who knew almost nothing of the gospel, but I'd met up at the university, and this was her first chance to go to a Christian church, first chance to know a Christian. And I realized that we have an opportunity, and I'd even say an obligation as Christians, to be the ones reaching out to our neighbors. It's the second great command, love your neighbor as yourself, reaching out to them and reaching out to the world that's around us, that's come and moved into our neighborhood. But, you know, part of our move in Acts chapter 8, it's the story of Philip. And, you know, the church comes and the church is persecuted. It starts off saying, second half of verse 1, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen," you know, Stephen had just been stoned to death, "and mourned him deeply. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." You know, and that's a bit of my ambition and you know, encouragement is wherever you are to be preaching and sharing the word. And it says, "Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there." And so we catch up with the story of Philip, and he's proclaiming Christ, he's preaching Christ, I guess you could say revival breaks out, or you know people start coming to faith, and there's the story, so much so that in verse 14, as it shares about what's happening, it says, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God," and of course, that is so significant, isn't it, right, that Samaria is now accepting the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. And so something's happening here, and God is at work. If you remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about, you know, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And we're seeing this happen. And so the apostles go, and they check it out. And God is obviously at work. But then Philip gets called out. You see, what happens later on, it says, verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And I'm sure Philip was wondering why. But he didn't ask why. He simply obeyed. And in a bit, I feel this way. You know, I'm involved in ministry and things are happening. We're encouraged by what God is doing. I spend my Friday nights now at UBC. And, you know, it's really grown the ministry. This past year, it really had kind of shrunk down. But we knew God was at work. And, you know, it's things are just, you know, going. And there's students coming. And we've seen some come to faith. And, you know, some more are day by day, you know, asking questions and seeking God. And yet, you know, God's called me away from that. And sometimes we might wonder why. But in the story of Philip, we know it well. He goes and in simply following God, he meets that eunuch who's looking at the book of Isaiah, and he's able to you know, proclaim Christ to him, and he's baptized, he believes, and it ends up in a story when he came out of the water, so he's baptized, verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And you know, one of the things that's true when you work with international students is that they're in and out of our lives. They're in and out of my lives. I've got used to saying goodbye, and that's kind of the heart of what we want to do, is that we're able to reach these students, proclaim Christ to them, hopefully have a little more time with them than Philip had with the eunuch, but you know, he set them on the right way. Baptized, and then they go their way, and you know, we say to impact the world for Jesus Christ, to go on living for Christ. And so, you know, we're being called down, and one of the things I ask that you pray for is that we'd, you know, would meet students. I kind of am going with the expectation that, you know, if God's called me, that there's people that He's calling me to down in Australia, and I ask that you pray. You know, a few prayer points that I'd ask you to pray for. You know, a safe journey. You know, we're going down, and we've had to totally, you know, uproot our lives here. And so pray for us as we go down and look to settle. I put down here, pray especially for Isaiah. Just now, my wife says, you know, every time I start to even think about getting excited to move, she says, I see Isaiah with his friends, and we saw him all down here. And he's quite emotional about the move, so, you know, please pray for him, but we all are. So pray for us, just kind of as we go, just that we'll be able to settle and make the connections. Another thing I just put here, and this is all in the prayer letter, pray for the seeds that have been planted here. You know, I want to just... you know, hopefully she'll be coming by our open house this afternoon. And if you're free this afternoon, please drop by my parents' house for an open house and just some time of fellowship. But one of our student leaders at UBC, her name's Scarlett. And she's not a Christian, but her aunt that she's living with here is. And it's kind of interesting. I see how, you know, her aunt said, oh, well, you know, always is inviting her to church and she's never gone. And then all of a sudden she became the executive of a Christian club at UBC. That's a whole other story, but essentially her best friend is our student president, and we needed a treasurer. And so Scarlett, without ever having come to Focus Club, said, well, I'll help you guys out. I'll put my name down. And it was interesting Friday, as we were just kind of preparing the meal, she was sitting there just singing, give thanks with the grateful. And I was like, how are you singing that? And we've, you know, this semester we've seen her really open up to the gospel. And she's probably been, you know, I'd almost say without being a Christian, she's one of our greatest evangelists of just every week bringing in new students and new students. So we see that God's drawing her. And so I ask that you'd pray for Scarlett, that she would come to faith in Christ. But she knows there's something there, and so she's bringing other people out. So pray for what's going on here. The next prayer point is, you know, pray for clear direction from the Lord. You know, one of the maybe good timing things is I arrive as the students start writing their final exams, and then in Australia, I'm going into summer, which is also a nice thing. They'll have a couple weeks off or a couple months off from the university. And so I'm grateful for that as I look to, you know, give us time to kind of kind of see the lay of the land, but pray for us that we'd be able to discern, you know, where is God calling us. Adelaide, the city we'll live in, has three main universities. The university by the church that we'll be at has some people working with international students, but very little. And so we do sense that maybe that's where God's calling us, but we just feel we want to get down there first. And that's also one part that we're thankful for, is that God has given us a church to be a part of. It's called Marion Church of Christ, Marion just being the neighborhood. And I will be kind of coming on in an official role with the church, what they call a growth pastor for young adults. It's just a 10-hour-a-week thing, meaning when I began talking with the church, it was, you know, Steve's coming as a missionary to Australia to serve the international students, to work with international students. But they'd been looking for someone, and they're just down the road from a university. They'd been looking for someone to help their young adults engage with the neighborhood, and in particular, the university and the college that are right down in their neighborhood. And so as I met with the church, Skype and whatnot, we did sense that God was maybe bringing us together for this ministry. It's good because it's a big part of what I believe in, is that the church should be involved in ministry outside the four walls. And also those working outside the four walls, so to speak, should be well-grounded in a local church, in the ministry that they're a part of. Pray for that. And finally, just, you know, God's provision of a place to live for people, just the financial needs, the energy, just to kind of hit the ground running. It's funny, you say you get one chance to make that first impression, and we're going to arrive in Australia exhausted, jet-lagged and stuff, so pray that we'll just be able to start well as we arrive down there. But I appreciate your prayer, and I ask for your prayer, and hopefully that gives you a snapshot of what we'll be doing. So the main thing that we'll be doing is working with international students in Australia. We're looking to get plugged into a campus. We're looking to maybe help our church start an outreach program for international students. The details will be determined as we kind of get there and seek what God's doing. But the thing that's clear for us that we know is that God has called us down there. And we're excited to be following him down there. And, that's what it's about, is when God sets you in direction, you follow, right? When God shows you something, you obey, and you do. And maybe kind of using that as a bit of a segue, I want to encourage you to keep on here following and obeying God. That's what we're doing, and I encourage you to do the same in your lives. To take what God has shown you, what God has spoken to you, and be faithful to it. Sometimes you might not understand everything about it, but through the time and as you walk along the way, you'll see how and why God called you and has put you somewhere. The passage I want us to kind of look at a bit more in detail today is Genesis 11. Genesis 11, it's well known. It's probably in your Bible titled The Tower of Babel. It's 9 verses, this story in the Bible, but it's a foundational part of the Bible. What happens in these 9 verses is I'd say almost both the literal, but also the kind of the figurative foundation for what becomes Babylon, man's rebellion against God. And it's something that stretches from here, Genesis 11. I mean, of course, sin had already entered the world, but here in these verses, we see just this picture of the way that we as people rebel against God. And we can learn lessons of how then we can follow God. Because, of course, from Babel comes Babylon, which right through Revelation, which we studied earlier this year, is people standing in defiance against God. A little bit of the context, this happens after the flood. Genesis chapter 10 is a bit of like the human genealogy of what happens. And Genesis 11 is the story. And of course, there's there's an underlying commandment that God had given his people that up to this point has already been repeated a few times in Genesis. God gave it to Adam and Eve, and it was this. It's to be fruitful and multiply and fill the face of the earth. And then after the flood, God gives that same command. It says, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And so there's this underlying command that had been given to all people. From here, go and fill the earth. And that's the context of Genesis 11. And I'll read these verses. It says this. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may to make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them, and there over all the earth they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And so obviously the focus is often on, you know, and maybe if they're teaching this in Sunday school today, it'd be, this is how come we have so many languages. And we see it's a result of man's sinful and willful disobedience against God. And you can't help but talking about Babel without looking at Pentecost, where we see that because of Jesus and the work of God, it's reversed. As the disciples, they spoke one language and everyone understood. And it's God drawing us back, but to himself and under himself. But we have some lessons that we can learn from Babel that I think are very applicable to us today. And the first lesson is this, is that when we stop actively obeying God, we soon begin actively disobeying God. You see, before there was a tower, they'd already settled. You see, they had one kind of command, and that was to obeying God for them was simply this, go and spread out over the earth. But then they said they settled. They found a nice place, maybe it's comfortable. It doesn't explain too much. The plain of Shinar, we know there's some rivers and whatnot. They found a nice place and said, let's settle here. We know that God wants us to keep on going out, but let us settle here. And so before the tower came the settlement. You see, they stopped actively obeying God in their lives. And I think this can happen to us too in our lives. You might be, we go along life and you find a nice place. And up to that point, you've been, you know, obeying God, but you know, for whatever reason, maybe it gets comfortable. Maybe you look ahead at what it would mean or what it would cost to continually follow Christ and think that's a big step. Maybe you look around and see, well, everyone else seems to be enjoying life here. Maybe I'll just settle down and enjoy life here. And we see that they went from actively obeying God to soon actively disobeying God. You see, the Tower of Babel is man standing up against God. But that comes a bit later. It says in verse 2, as they moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And so they settled there. And then after they settled, they said, let us make bricks and bake them. And then it says, come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heaven so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. You see, at some point there, it went from simply settling to saying, we know what God wants for us to be scattered. And let's see what we can do to stop that. Let's build a city to stop that in defiance. And so I think that's true in our lives. When we stop actively obeying God, when we stop responding to his word and faith, when we stop listening and then going and obeying. One of my sons, I think he probably learned it at BSF, And he's also here in Awana, wherever. I'm not sure where he first learned it, but he makes me sing it to him at night. And it's trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And there's so much truth in that song that we need to be trusting and obeying God and taking him at his word and trusting it and obeying. Hebrews 3:15 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And you see, there's that same kind of progression we see almost here where the writer of Hebrews is saying, you know, you heard the word, and if you don't go out and obey the word, you'll find that what's next is that you end up in rebellion against God. And so I encourage you to actively obey God in your life. You know, sometimes the problem when, someone like me speaks on an occasion where I'm moving across the world in obedience is we think that obeying God is limited and confined to big decisions like that, but it's not. It's day by day, trusting and obeying and listening to God and acting according to what his word says. And so continue obeying God. You know, I remember I had, I'd almost say the fear of God put in me. It was my first trip to Panama. It was a short term, 6 weeks. And we spent 6 weeks essentially sharing the gospel is what we'd done. That was our mandate. In fact, I was scared to do so. I remember we sat down on our first night and we were kind of given, on that first day, we were given our schedule for the 6 weeks in Panama. And it was 4 weeks on campus every day, initiating conversations to share the gospel. A weekend rest, and then a week and a half in a village to go out and show the Jesus film every day and share the gospel, and then 4 days or 3 days to debrief. And I remember looking at the schedule and saying, I don't want to do this. That is way too much work. But it is good, and you know, at the end of it, we were just encouraged, and for 6 weeks, we'd be sharing the gospel, and we'd learned a lot, grown a lot. But I remember this. One of our staff said, you know, a third of you, he says, I've been doing this for 30 years. And he says, you know, a third of you, within 10 years, won't actively be following Jesus anymore. And we kind of looked at each other and said, well, not me, you know, not you, not me. But I remember sitting there and going, that could be me. That really could be me. And he simply said, you know, if you go and you stop living for God, you'll soon find you're living for yourself. And so I encourage you, live for God. Continue obeying him. The next lesson that we learn is that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. You know, we live in a world of near endless possibilities, or at least that's what the world tries to tell us. There's so many possibilities. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. You see, as you go along, it says there, it's a funny little verse, but it says, they use brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And in verse 3, you see, for them in that day and age, they've had a major technological breakthrough. You know, they could build things out of brick and with mortar or with tar. You know, they could build things that last. They could build them quickly. They no longer had to go and find stones and piece them together. You know, that's like the equivalent of the internet for them, I guess, or something like that. You know, it just would have changed the way that they could live. And because they could do that, they decided to build a city. And because they could do that, they realized, hey, we can build a tower. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. You see, they found out that they were able to build a city and a tower. They could do this, but it went against what God had told them to do it. What God had told them to do. And so they ignored God's counsel. You see, whatever we do, we need to bring God's counsel into what we do in our lives. You know, we'll have opportunities in life. But Lord, should I do this? Is this what you want of me? There'll be things that we can do and we can just go, God, is this something that is pleasing to you or not pleasing to you in my life? And so we need to bring God's counsel. It's interesting, in these 9 verses, there's 2 little conferences going on. 2 times it talks about, let us. We see that the people say, let us do this thing. And we see that God says, well, let us go down and confuse their languages. And they're kind of put diametrically opposed to each other. man's counsel against what God's word has already said, and then God's counsel and God's action. And we see that the author purposely kind of contrasts them. It's, you know, come, let us settle. But God has said, scatter. And they had one language, and God wanted, just gave him many. And my favorite, because it's kind of humorous, it says, let's build a tower up to the heavens. And then when God answers the picture, it says, but the Lord came down. And so we see that, man, as we try to build up, as high as we can go up, God still says, I'll come down and see what's going on there. And so we need to listen and obey and consider God's counsel in all that we do. Because I've found in my life, ignoring God's counsel can lead to confusion. Because eventually that's what the people of Babel are known for, is confusion. Right? And when we ignore God's counsel in our lives, it leads to confusion. When we do things just on our own will and our own way, it might get us somewhere, but eventually somewhere down the line, we'll find ourselves in a state and a place of confusion. As a third lesson from Babel, we see this, that our lives are to be lived for God's glory and not our own. You know, what were these people trying to do? They're trying to make a name for themselves. And I think I didn't cut and paste everything onto the slide. But they wanted to make a name for themselves, right? Let's make a name for ourselves, it says there in the end of verse 4. You know, as opposed to being scattered and simply obeying and doing what God wants us to do, they wanted a name for themselves. But we are called to live for God's glory and not our own. And so I encourage you and I encourage myself to live for God's glory, whatever you're doing. Not to live just to simply make a name for yourselves. It's interesting, we played a game at one of our international student clubs, just an icebreaker game. It's a well-known game, and it's kind of, you know, would you rather? And so you just get everyone in the middle, you clear the chairs, and you say something like, you know, would you rather have pizza or sushi, right? And you just see which people would rather do. And, you know, it's a fun game, a simple game. And then what we do is, you know, you try to convince people to get onto your side. And so one of them, though, was, you know, would you rather become famous or accomplish something, I forget the wording exactly, but essentially accomplish something, you know, for the benefit of all people but remain anonymous, or simply do what you want to do and become famous for it. And it's very interesting because you saw people were kind of torn because we want to have a name for ourselves. We want to be known. You know, even though we might want to do good, there's always a part of us that wants to be recognized and accredited for the good that we do. And so, like many, it was kind of a 50-50 split, and people had different reasons for that. But here we see that these people, they wanted a name for themselves. But it came at a cost. It came at the cost of not obeying what God had called them to do. You see, when we live for ourselves, it comes at a cost. It might be beneficial to us in many different ways, but when we live for ourselves, it comes at the cost of living for God and bringing Him glory. And so I want to encourage you to live for God, to live for Him with your whole heart. You know, that's the first and greatest command, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But live and love God, live for God, live for His name. Because I think what you'll find out is soon you realize you're part of something better and greater than you could even have imagined yourself. You know, there's a popular song, or it was popular, I think it still is. You know, I can only imagine, and it's a great song of someone, you know, just, I can only imagine what it'll be like one day to be in heaven with God and to see it all. And we know it will be worth it. We know it's worth it to live for God. Might be difficult, but it's worth it. I think I might have shared this story before, but it's one that's worth repeating. And that's I'm going to say my divine encounter with Gordy Fuller. So most of us here know Gordy Fuller. If you don't, he's one of the people who helped build this church. And he also helped start and do a lot of up at Morningstar Bible Camp. And so I was up at Morningstar Bible Camp this summer. I was preaching at the teens camp. And it was when I was up there that I got my email, the email that said I'd been approved for my Australian visa. And so all of a sudden we knew that, yep, we're going. Like, this is it. We've been waiting for that green light. And so we began our preparations to go, really, from that moment. I don't think Gordy knew this. He didn't know that just the day prior, my green light had been given to move to Australia. And my range of emotions, of course, was mixed. I was very excited. And then the next day you realize to be going somewhere means to be leaving somewhere. And so, you know, I was really... And he found me just when I was on the down, like going really down, like, oh, that means I'm leaving, right? Like, you know, starting to consider that. But Gordy, he was just walking through the camp, and I just said, hey, Gordy, how you doing? And kind of just without prompting, he says, you know, Steve, I'm walking down memory lane. I can't believe that all this stuff is still going on. The chapel was going on. I wasn't skipping chapel because I was going to be speaking in chapel, but I was just outside getting some fresh air and you know, just hearing the kids singing. He says, you know, the best thing about being involved in the Lord's work is that when you leave, it keeps on going. When you leave, it keeps on going. And I really taken that to heart, and I really believe that's what I said, as a divine encounter, because it's really actually helped me as I move along to know that what's going on here at Parkrest, this is the Lord's work. And it's going to keep on going on. But you all have a part to play in it. We all have a part to play in it. We as a church are called to do the work of the church. And that entails a lot of things, and that'd be a whole other sermon. But that's being God's light in this world. And part of the work of Parkrest is now to send me, but there's work to be done here. Because this is the Lord's work, and God is at work in Parkrest. And we can be a part of what God is doing as we get involved. We are the church, each members individually. And God is at work in your workplace, in your schools, in your homes. And you have a part to play in that. And so I want to encourage you from maybe some lessons we've learned. And hopefully maybe an example that I'm serving is that keep on living in obedience to God. As God shows you, as God prompts you towards something, obey Him. Live in obedience. As you go about your life and seeing all these things that you can do, consider what you should do in light of what God has shown you, what His Word tells us, what He's made clear, and maybe what He's spoken to you specifically. And as you do that, you'll find that you're no longer just living for yourself, but you're living for God. And there's nothing greater than living for God and living for His glory, because there's nothing greater than the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you to live for that in your lives. And I want to encourage you to live wholeheartedly serving God. And so I'm just going to invite Mark and Sylvie up. We're going to close with this song, and I'll just close in prayer as they come up. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you've called us, that there's work for us to do, that we can be a part of building your kingdom and not just our own kingdoms. And so we give thanks, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.